really today, you know, carrying me back over my life, kind of. I've served with the Lord, you know. And the only reason I'm still saved today is because of Him.
That's right.
He's the only reason, when we hang on to Him.
Right.
You know, we don't have to know how we're going to make it or how things are going to end up. Just hang on to Him. Trust in Him. You know, how many knows the Lord has already supplied every need that will ever arise in your life?
Hallelujah.
Now, I mean, that's hard to comprehend sometimes, you know. But how many knows He's provided for you financially throughout your whole life?
Amen.
Some people might say, well, I ain't got more money. Well, maybe it's not God's fault.
Right.
If He's provider, if I won't let Him provide, I went into McDonald's 10, 12 years ago, and I'm standing in McDonald's, standing in a line. There's an elderly lady in front of me, and the Lord spoke to me, dropped it in my heart. He said, buy her breakfast. I got excited. I thought, praise God, hallelujah. So I went up there, went around her, and I said, ma'am, I said, I'd like to buy your breakfast. What are you saying? She jumped me. What are you saying? I'm broke. I got money. She come unglued on me right there in front of God and everybody in McDonald's and embarrassed me, really, and, you know, and everything. And when I left there, I was kind of upset, really, you know, that she would come. But you know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, that's the way some of my people do me. He said, they won't let me provide. I mean, those, we can stop God's provision in our life.
Right.
You know, I mean, He provided Jesus. He's our provider. He provided salvation. If you're lost without Jesus tonight, He died on the cross for you.
Hallelujah.
He came through a virgin, birthed by the Spirit of God, born into this earth, and he gave His life for all of us. He went to the cross. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if you're lost without Jesus, you know, if we're not careful, you know, we'll take church as Jesus. Right. The way people are is Jesus. No, it's not. He's personal. He's personal to you. You've got to be personal to you. You know, the church didn't save me.
Right.
Somebody told me not too long ago, they said, I got to go find spiritual life in a church somewhere. I said, you won't find it. I said, if you can't find life in your living room, you won't find it more than likely in church. See, I was in my living room when I gave my heart to Jesus. And it's not the church really that keeps me. It's me making the conscious decision that God is my provider. He's my provider. Now, that makes me want to go to church. There's benefits of coming to the church.
Right.
The Bible says in Psalms over there, those that are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of our God. Right. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, the symbol, you know. But Jesus, you know, I didn't want anything to do with church until I got born again. Until He began to draw me. You know, I didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to get nobody, you know, leave me alone. Go to church if you want to. But once God began to draw me, I had a different desire. I started thinking about going to church. I wanted my life to be different, you know. And if you ever feel that way, and I'm not just talking to you here. We're all over the planet. We've got a website. We go all over the world, Facebook, YouTube, and all that stuff, you know. And so, but if you ever feel that way, that there's more to life, you know, when you're lost without Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you into a relationship with Jesus so He can begin to provide you for what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
After I got born again, then I begin to hunger after the Lord. And I begin to read my Bible. How many knows it's good to get to be a Bible student? Be in that Bible, be a Bible student, Bible reading, Bible thinking. You know, the more you learn, you need knowledge of God through the Bible. You gain knowledge of God, who He is, what He's provided. How many know He's provided healing for you?
Yeah.
The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. I mean, where is it past tense? You know, and I've heard people say, well, if He provided healing, why don't He heal me? He's already healed you, sweetheart. He's already healed you. But see, the thing about it is, we got to not be like the lady at McDonald's and refuse it. You can, by unbelief, He won't do it for me, or, you know, whatever the case might be, you know, you just got to believe that you receive what Jesus did for you. If you're lost in this house, I don't know where everybody's at. You can go to church and be lost.
Right.
You can go to church and not have Jesus living in your heart. And not even see when good's coming your way from the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll show you in Scripture what I'm talking about. You know, so if you're in this place and you're not born again, I'm going to give an altar call in a little while. I'm going to invite you to come to know Jesus. And it would be a real privilege to me here the night before Thanksgiving, praise God, to win you to Jesus, lead you to Jesus, to help you get to know Jesus. It would be the best day of the rest of your life. Hallelujah. No matter how old you are. If I knew what I knew after I got born again at 27 years old, I would have went to Jesus earlier. I didn't know he was really real. I knew people went to church and talked about Jesus. But the reality of that real life in Christ Jesus was not real to me. But once I told the Lord, if you're really real, help me. That I invited him in, and the reality of the realness of God was known to me and still is today, 20-something years later. The reality the Word gives you, after you're born again, you can read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You might as well just read a newspaper. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. But once you get born again and you begin to read the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit begins to bring what I call revelation, what I call enlightenment in the Scriptures to you. It begins to give you vision for your future and give you vision for making it in the Lord. There's a lot of people today, they feel like they can't make it in Jesus. Well, you know, you've got to swim a little deeper is all you got to do. You got to rely on him to strengthen you, to help you, to help you stay born again, to help you go to the house of the Lord, to help you serve him, to help you read. See, trusting in the Lord as our provider. And you know what? That's actually giving him praise. That's actually saying, God, you're my strength. You're my provider. You're my healer. You know, you need finances for Christmas. There's no lack of money in the planet. But you know what? You can have a famine at your house. You absolutely can have a famine at your house. You know, if you're a born-again believer, then the Bible says, that Paul said, but my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches, right?
Right.
Well, then what do you have need of? He said he'd supply. Well, you got to put your confidence in him right where you at, that he will supply for you. That's faith released, and then you consciously, on purpose, expect God to meet that faith release.
Amen.
That's releasing your faith. Hallelujah. How many knows the Lord has already supplied every need that will ever arise, and there is great untold benefits comes from trusting in the Lord. When I feel weak as a leader, and overwhelmed as a leader, when things are happening in a lot of y'all's lives and I don't like it, and hardship and all of that, that can be a weight to me. That can be something that, and you know what? There's great benefit. I will trust in the Lord. I will say, God, I trust in you for strength as a leader, Lord, to have the right word, to have the right things to say, Lord, and to stay strong for them. See, that's what you've got to do. Not just as a leader. You're leading somebody. You're leading your kids. You're leading you're leading your family. My family is watching my life. They know who I was back there. And they see me serving God. I don't need a pat on the back. But they see the strength of the Lord in my life. And your family will see it in your life. They will see the demonstration of God in your life when you really trust in the Lord. He will show up. He will provide. He'll bring breakthroughs for you when nobody else is getting none. I made a mistake about 3 or 4 months ago. And I went and looked at the job and give a price on the job and all of that. And I didn't pay real close attention to the way the sections were made. Well, I ordered nearly $2,000 worth of sections, and we go to do the job the other day, and we get up there, and there was the wrong sections done. And if I order the other sections 5 months later, and then it's going to cost me another $2,000. So I'm going to lose on that job. And so I'm standing there, you know, and all of a sudden, Travis says, well, let's try one. And by my experience, 27, 28 years in the garage door, I've never seen them work. And Travis says, well, let's try one. They said, what can it hurt? And in my mind, I wanted to think, no, but you don't know. You know? And I said, well, let's do it. And then I thought, Romans 8:28 says,
hallelujah.
Y'all know what it says?
Yeah.
Romans 8:28, that's for me. That's for believers. There's where you're trusting in the Lord right then. Your heart is turning to the Lord when you take hold of that scripture and you say, God, you said you work all things together. You're trusting in the Lord. There's great benefits of trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you know what? Praise God, they work. Every one of them work.
Amen.
Praise God, they work.
Amen,
bro. That scripture, if you're going through things in your life right now as a believer, now if you're not a believer, you don't have this hope in you that I'm talking about. And you don't understand with your head what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because the Bible says, flesh receiveth not the things of God, but the spirit of man. You receive from God in your spirit after you're born again.
Amen.
Of the spirit of God.
Amen.
But you can't have that. See, he's still a miracle working God today. But me and you as believers, as Christians, we can limit the Lord. We can limit him. Psalm 78 over there said they limited the Holy One of Israel with their unbelief. They come out of Egypt over there through the Red Sea, seeing all kinds of miracles. And then they get out there in hardship. They get out there in hardship. They get out there where that God's given them just enough to eat every day. Every day he told them, don't gather up none. And when they did, it would rot. He was teaching them that I'm your provider. I'll take care of you in the hot. I'll take care of you in the day. I'll take care of you. I'll be your shield and buckler. But you know what? Psalm 78 says they limited the Holy Israel. They turned back in their hearts. They kept marching on. They kept going to church. You can go to church and you can limit God.
Right.
I can go to church and I can limit God.
Amen.
You know? And you can be young and think, well, that Jesus, it ain't really for me, that religion. Well, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about at a young age giving your heart to Jesus. And I mean getting on fire for the Lord. And I mean change the whole course of the way you think, your future and everything. And not get entangled up with the affairs of this world, drugs and all of these things and anger and jealousy and, you know, torn families and all of that stuff, man. We can have it all together because of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying bad things. Every individual makes a choice. You know, and some trials in my life is not because of me. They're because of somebody else. But he's the same God there that I'm talking about, regardless of what happens in my life. If I will trust the Lord and keep my confidence in the Lord, he will work that thing to my good. It might not feel good, look good, but in the end, it will come out wonderful. Why? Because he wants to be our provider. He wants to be our comfort. How many knows that confidence is built in our hearts by trusting him? Confidence in the Lord. I was thinking about it today. I'm confident that Travis is coming to work. He don't give me no proof of laying out. You don't give me no proof of that. But there's mornings when it's four after, and I'm thinking, he better not lay out today. I'm losing confidence 4 minutes. We're 4 minutes earlier, you know, I'm confident until it gets 7 o'clock. But you know what? Because he shows up for work, I have confidence in him.
Right.
I don't think about it at night. I'm thinking we got it lined up and we're going to work tomorrow. That's confidence in him. But how much more powerful is it if we have confidence in the Lord?
Right.
I'm talking about for everything, praise God. Great benefits come from trusting in the Lord. Confidence is built in our heart from trusting. Strength is found in trusting in the Lord. How many knows the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord He don't say be strong in your ability, be strong in your wisdom. It says be strong in the Lord. You know what? The only way to be strong in the Lord is build confidence in Him, trusting in Him. And the more that I do that, and the more that we do that, the stronger we will become in confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
And it will cause strength. How many know that faith is built by trusting in the Lord?
Right.
Your faith increases. Every time you don't get into a trial, every time you trust God in that trial, I'm telling you, your faith grows. Your faith is strengthened and multiplied, and grace is available. I mean, notice that grace can get you through things. Kind of like I believe Daniel in the lion, I believe he was in the grace of God. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the grace of God. I believe they had the ability to go in there and take all of that stuff and come out on the winning side. Hallelujah. Let's look at, give me Jeremiah, please. I mean, those peace in storms of life is found and trusted in the Lord.
Right.
If you ain't got no peace today, you're trusting in the wrong things. You're looking at the wrong things as a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you're not going to have what I'm talking about. You must be born of the Spirit of God to have what I'm talking about, because it's not hid from us, but it's revealed to us through Jesus. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Did you hear that? If I trust in my own ability, if I put my confidence in people and all of that stuff, and people will let you down. I mean, you know, he says cursed. He said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and make flesh his arm. That's talking about spirit. Whose heart departs from the Lord. There's the problem.
Right
there's the problem. My heart will depart from the Lord. See, if I'm putting my trust in anything other than the Lord for my life, my finances, ministry, your life, well then my heart is really departing from the Lord. He said, for he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes. I know a lot of people there today.
Right.
I know a lot of Christians there today. They don't go to church anymore. They just, you know, they feel discouraged and all of that. And I'm not downing them. But you know, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got to take the scripture that says, those that are planted, I'm going to be planted in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to flourish in the courts of my God. I'm not going to do like everybody else that ain't going to do it. I'm not going to judge them, but I'm not going to get caught up in that. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. How many knows that God will give you strength when you make your mind up to do that? He said, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Go ahead. But look here now. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He didn't say cursed, did he? He was just showing his curse. People bring bad things by not trusting in the Lord. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be, look what you'll be. Look what we are, I am.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but God, my roots are out by the river of water.
Amen.
He said, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Did you hear that? That's us. That's anybody that will constantly put their trust in the Lord. He said that you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Everything you do, the Bible says, will prosper. Hallelujah. Trusting in the Lord brings His protection. You know, I've thought about a lot of times. Now, I used to be back yonder in drugs and all of that, you know, before I got born again. Even after I got born again, went back to some of the same old ways. You can let the enemy take ground in your life, and went back smoking marijuana and different things, and, you know, staying at home, not going to church. It don't matter if you're in ministry or not. But you know what? I started inheriting those parks places. I started being robbed. I started letting the curse work in my life. I was even a faithful tither. I think we had $700 or $800 that we'd, me and Teresa, we got out of church. We weren't going to spend our tithe, man. We was faithful. And so, but we lasted for a little while, and then we went and bought a mattress with that tithe. Wasn't it a mattress? Yeah, we give in at her a little. Why? You know why? Because our heart wasn't trusting in the Lord more, and we didn't have the strength within ourselves to keep in obedience to the Lord. See, in yourself, you can't serve Jesus. Really serve Him and receive from Him in your own strength.
Right.
I mean, you can talk to Him, and you can thank the Lord for the day. And one of my brothers, one time, he wouldn't go to church. I invited him to church and all that stuff, you know, in his family. And he told me one day, he says, well, you know, I'm teaching my kids to be thankful when we get jobs and be thankful over my food and our food and be thankful for that. I said, that's not serving Jesus.
Right.
I said, sure, the whole world's probably glad He came. You know? I said, but there's a deeper walk in the Lord where you let the Lord into your life and you let the Lord into your into supply and taking care of you instead of you taking care of everything.
Right.
Trusting in the Lord brings His protection, His provision, His confidence, His deliverance, strength, and peace.
Right.
Trusting in the Lord brings God's provision. You know that's what delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That's what delivered Paul when he was shipwrecked, stoned, drug out of the city, left for dead. That's what was happening to these guys. It brought God's protection. And the Bible says, give me, you don't got it, but give me Psalms 91. I think in verse 1. Well, just leave it right there. That's good. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my, I did have it, didn't I? Which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Not just thinking about Jesus every now and then. That's not what it's talking about. We've made Him our dwelling place. We've made Him our refuge. We've decided that to let Him be our shield and our buckler, praise God. You know, the Lord told me one time, you know, I was standing on my porch one time and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't understand why people would do whatever I was asking at that time, why people was doing what they did. And all of a sudden, God removed His presence from me on that porch. And I'm telling you, I felt backslid. I wanted to commit suicide. I mean, I was oppressed and all of that, you know. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. Well, the presence of the Lord come back. And then I realized how come I was strong. It was Him all the time.
Right.
Being a Christian, going forward, you know, taking a stand to get sickness and disease and against the enemy and get failure. I don't believe in failure.
Amen.
I don't believe in failure. I believe we ought to be winner-minded. I believe the Bible tells us to.
Right.
The Bible says, no man has left father and mother and land, brothers and sisters, for my sake in the gospel and lost anything. But he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. Well, you know, I mean, I repented, got back saved, got back in there with the Lord and all of that stuff. Then I wanted to go to church. See, when you're right with the Lord, you want to go to the house of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, I preach on going to church everywhere I go. I tell everybody, if I talk to them about the Lord, where you go to church? Everybody's like, it's all about church. Sure I am. Sure. I mean, I'm big time on church now. Well, you just start noticing. Notice how you feel before you get to church, and then notice how you feel when you leave.
Amen.
And then feel that. Feel what the Lord lets you feel, and then go out and let you get all that garbage out of your mind. Well, church, blah, 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 you know. Not go back and just drink and drink and drink and drink. And then start putting in. Start praying before you get to church. Start reading your Bible. Start thinking about the Lord. Start coming in the house of the Lord saying, we're going to worship you today, God. We're laying all these troubles down outside. We're going into this building and we're going to lift you up, magnify you. I'm going to get my mind off of me and my problems, Lord, and I'm going to be thankful today.
Amen.
And that ought to be every service we go to the house of the Lord. And you know, when you put that in, you're going to get some good stuff out of it.
Amen.
You'll get some good stuff out of it. He says, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. He said, there shall no evil befall you.
Amen.
I believe that.
Right.
There shall no evil, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. He's kept us here.
Right.
Now, plague, I don't care if it's COVID, flu, monkey, strain, whatever they want to call the next one. We got to have that word hid in our heart, praise God. We got to have that word and have it in our hearts saying, thank you, Lord. You protected me from whatever the news is telling us is coming again. Now they're telling us, I was thinking about today, I was telling Travis yesterday, I said, you know, I said, inflation higher than it's been in 30 or 40 years. I said, you know, it reaches down to the ones on low income that are on a fixed income. I said, it affects them the greatest because that's all they're getting every month, that's it. And the groceries are higher and all that. And I was just talking. I said, but God. I said, but it don't make no difference about that. He's got to be our dwelling place. I told Travis, I said, but God can increase them. Anybody that will trust him. He can bring in, man, listen to me. He can speak to somebody over yonder in California in your name. They've never heard of you, but they know the Lord. They're fasting and they're praying and saying, Lord, use me. What would you have me to do, God? I want to be used by you, God. There are ones in the dwelling, and they can speak your name and say, Alabama. I want you to find them in Alabama. You can be Google, baby. But the Holy Ghost knows everything. And he's able to speak to people. What I'm saying here, when we're trusting in the Lord and not man and not our strength and not our wisdom, he's able to go past the natural and bring the supernatural together. He's able to bring it down.
Amen.
He told Peter needs money to pay his taxes. Jesus and Peter. He told Peter, he said, go fishing. He said, catch that fish. He said, take that money out and pay mine and your tax. That's supernatural. He went past the natural. He was showing Peter, I'll supply all of your needs. I've come here. I come that you might have life and have it to the abundance, to the full, to the overflow. That's John 10:10. But we want to focus on the thief. Oh, the devil. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, don't magnify him. Defeat him.
Right.
Don't magnify him and let him convince you that he has power over you, that he can rule in your life. If he rules in my life, it's because I give him a key. It's because I give him opportunity. It's because I get in unbelief and all of that. It's because I get in fear. The Bible says, fear not. Amen. All through the Old Testament. And the Bible says in the New Testament, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. He is our provider. He's our refuge from the enemy. He's already stripped him of all power. If the devil's working in your neighborhood, well then get out and declare war on him. Get out and anoint your land. Get you some oil, man. Do some Bible stuff. My brother told me he had back trouble. He was having back trouble. Couldn't cut firewood hardly anymore. He's a little older than me, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he'd go into church up there, going to church, you know, and I every time I'd talk to him, I'd say, well, you know what? By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. I said, now you gotta eat that, man. You gotta get on that word, praise God, and you just gotta keep it there and expect for the healing to manifest in your body. Just receive what Jesus has already done. Well, anyhow, he gets bold and he goes, he's telling me about it. He said, you know what, that God? He said, I went up there to my church and I called on the elders. I said, it says right here, call on the elders of the church, anoint me and pray in the prayer of faith will save the sick. They prayed things. He called them up there and they all laid hands on him. His back's healed today.
Glory to God.
You know what? He could have sat back and whined about it and sat down, and I believe still have back trouble today. I still believe he would have it today. Why? Because he went and took hold of what Jesus has already done for him. See, if you have faith, then you must have action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So if I believe that I'm healed, if I believe that he's done provided finances for me for Christmas, then I'm not going to say, I don't know what we're going to get the kids for Christmas. This is a hard year. Somebody told me that, and I said, no, it ain't. I said, it's not a hard year. I said, no, it's not. It's not a hard year. Well, it is in my house. It ain't no mine. I got confidence that he'll show up, not Santa Claus. Jesus is my provider. He said he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches, right? Well, then I've got to begin to rejoice that my supply will come because the Bible says it. And have confidence in the Lord because I know that that's what he said he would do. Then have confidence because of the word that he'll come through. And that's what gives him, you know, the avenues. You worried about the flu? Bible says, don't worry, it's sin. Worry is fear. Did you hear me? We have no right to fear, to worry. I'll just tell you, yes, you got to train your mind. You got to lay in bed and rehearse the scripture instead of rehearsing your light bill or whatever the case is. So you can't lay in the bed and think about all your problems and get in faith and have confidence in the Lord. You gotta make him your dwelling place. You gotta make him your confidence. You gotta make him higher than what. See, the thing that you magnify gets bigger. If you magnify the way you feel, you're gonna feel worse more than likely. But if you'll magnify the Lord and you'll begin to magnify what he said in his word about your situation, I'm telling you, your emotions will change. It will affect your emotions. Trusting in the Lord brings his protection, his provision, confidence, his deliverance, his strength. In Romans 8, look, put that Romans 8 up though. Romans 8, have it right now, 28. Romans 8, 28. I may not put that in there. We want it though. Good. And we know that all things, somebody say all things.
All.
No big problem, little problem, medium. It says all things work together. And you know what? When you're trusting in the Lord, that's proof you love the Lord. You've come to trust him because you love him.
Right.
See, if you love, you know, when we express our trust in the Lord, we're releasing love to him. That tells him that we love him. And people say, well, you know, God ain't really never moved for me. Oh, yes, he has. He moved Jesus down here for you.
Amen.
You hear me? He sent him down here for you.
Yep.
There's no way the only way you can believe that is you've been deceived by the enemy that God ain't never moved for you. You've got breath in your body. Come on, somebody. Breath is breathed into us by the Lord.
Amen.
Your heart's still beating. Come on, somebody.
Yep.
He's keeping life on the inside of me and you. You let our spirit leave, our body dies. We've looked at a bunch of them in coffins.
Right.
He's our breath. He's the Bible says in him we move, breathe, and have our being. Well, you can't say that God's never did nothing or moved for you. But now in light of what you might be talking about, finances or, you know, your body or whatever, you know, it's not up to God what he can do in your life. It's up to you. It's up to me. If I believe that he's a good, supernatural, mighty, miracle-working God, then I got to walk like it. I got to talk like it. I got to think like it. And I've got to move like it. He said, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and to those who are called according to his purpose. How many knows that every one of us has been called according to the purpose of God?
Hallelujah.
And we begin to find our life when we give our life to Jesus. And we find more of the life that he had planned for us, the more that we submit to him on a daily basis. The more that we turn off the world, if we turn off the world and the noise in the world and all of that, and focus in on the good God that he is. He is a good, good God. And the Bible says all good things come from him. You know, I kind of felt a little better today. I've seen some justice taking place. You know, trials on TV and stuff. I seen some and I thought, yes, Lord. I said, yes, Lord, there's still people on this planet that's thinking right, Lord. Justice was being served. Well, how many know justice for us was served through Jesus? That John 10:10 I brought up, it says that Jesus come that we not have life and have it more abundantly. The word abundantly, if you go look it up in the Greek, how many know the Bible wasn't wrote in English? It was translated for us so we could understand what it said. But I've got a Bible, I've got a strong concordance Bible that goes back to the original meaning of the words that are in the Bible before it was translated over into English. And so I go in there with a word sticking out to me, you know, and I'll study it. Well, I studied that word abundant. It stuck out to me one day years and years ago. And I'd actually heard somebody say, it's to the full, till it overflows, you know, and all that. Well, I went in there and I looked that scripture up and I looked up that word abundant. And it says, Jesus come, and it means till our life is full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken. Don't that sound good?
Amen.
Jesus did that for me and you.
That's right.
And all we've got to do, and you know, it's not that we earn it. Going to church don't get it for me, really. Going to church, you know, gets me in the presence of God and with other believers and all of that stuff, corporate anointing. Then the preaching of the gospel begins to give me wisdom, give me insight into the Bible and all of that stuff. But you know what really brings life to me? It is my submission to him personally. It's my submission to him, you know, kind of like this, you know, people does you wrong or done you wrong, you've been done wrong, and you've got grudges and can't get over it and all of that stuff, you know, praise God. When the Bible says, you've got to forgive. He says, forgive so your heavenly Father can forgive you. Well, if you don't forgive, then you've got to do it by faith because Jesus already forgave us while we were sinners. He already demonstrated that on the cross. While we were sinners, he died for us. He forgave us for doing him wrong, although we wasn't even born yet. He knew we was going to do him wrong. He knew we was going to reject him and live without him and deny him and all of that stuff. But he still went to the cross and showed us. Even Stephen, when they were stoning him to death, he looked up, the heavens opened up, Jesus stood. Bible, that's the only place where it says that Jesus stood. And he said, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. See, you can't hold unforgiveness in your heart and receive healing from the Lord. You won't be able to receive from the Lord. And people say, well, you just don't know how bad it hurt. No, but Jesus did. Jesus knows. But see, he already come to give you life and that more abundant. He already come that in him you can overcome that hurt. You can overcome that. No matter what it is in your life, you can overcome your past, your failures in the past. You see, I rejoice today when I look back at my past. I don't feel sad and oppressed. I feel glorious. I feel victorious. Yes, I shouldn't have did a lot of things I've done, but black God, that man died. And I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And those things that tried to take me into a cursed life and had me in a cursed life, Jesus turned that thing around, and I'm one blessed man today. I am blessed. And I mean, and if you walk with the Lord and you learn to trust, I'm learning to trust him, Johnny. I don't know how to trust him fully yet. I'm just being honest with you. Don't think I'm standing up here telling you that I've arrived, I mean, to the fullness. No, sir. I'm having to work on myself every day to trust the Lord a little bit deeper. Give me wisdom, Lord, to trust Him with my wife, trust Him with my family. Did you know we could get a divorce after 50 years? I know people that's got a divorce. That would tear my world apart. If all of a sudden she wanted a divorce, and ain't nothing I can do about it in the natural. So, you know what? I'm taking care of that now.
Amen.
Bless God, I say out loud, I tell the devil, I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus Christ. And she knows it. I tell him, Satan, and she knows it. Well, you know, he goes on, leaves me alone. He would like to get me in that wrong thinking and in fear and imagining what it would be without her. And oh boy, I would just go down a roller coaster of defeat. Well, you know, the more that we trust in the Lord, the less that he's able to get us on these roller coasters of destruction.
Amen.
Because the Bible says he'll put us on the holy highway, a set apart highway that evil can't cross thereon. You know, I mean, even at my house sometimes, you know, I'll walk out there and I'll say, glory to God, this is anointed property. This is my refuge right here, God. When I pull into my house, Lord, the anointing's on my place, Lord. And I ain't got to go fighting devil. No. Oh, you know, the only way the devil can get in my house is somebody yielding to him calls my house. Now, he can get through that way. But I put a stop to that pretty fast. I bring scriptures up. I bring the Lord in, you know. I'm like, no, you can't come off the highway, demons, but you can come through the airways. I mean, the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. But how many knows he's defeated? If we are wiser than the devil, and you know what, if we don't have wisdom and we need wisdom in the things, if we will look to him and trust him to give us wisdom and give us the decisions we need, somehow he'll get it to us. We don't have to be concerned about how. We'll just be trusting the Lord, and all of a sudden a natural come and be like, glory to God, he showed up. He showed up, now I know exactly what to do. Don't go around saying, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. If you're going to say that, say, I don't know what to do yet. But the Lord's going to come through for me. He's going to give me wisdom. He's going to show me what to do. Thankfulness to the Lord brings deliverance and strength. I mean, I got a lot. I got a brother that's paralyzed. You know, I got one up there that's sick. I mean, you know, he can't hardly lift anything ever since things happened a year or so ago. You know, I got another sister who was diagnosed with cancer, and she just come through, and she's recovering, you know, thank God, and all that stuff. And I got more troubles in my family, other folk, you know. But you know what? I get up, and I say, thank you, Lord, for healing my family. Thank you, Lord, you're involved in my family's life. Thank you, Lord. And I'll say, thank you, Lord, that my family that don't know you want to know you, Lord. Right. See, what I'm saying, a thankful heart gives me strength. And it strengthens me to know that I can go to a God that is hearing me, that is working on my behalf in the things. See, and that what that is really is casting your care and casting my care over on the Lord. If you don't cast cares over on the Lord, the cares will pile up on you. I like what R.W. Schambach used to say, go a little bit with the Lord now. And I sat in my living room as a young convert. Didn't have a lot of knowledge of the Bible or nothing then. I'm sitting there, and I mean, I'm having trouble at work, and I'm having trouble at home, people and family, and all kinds of trouble all around me. Right after I become a Christian. And I had preaching on. How many know that's a good thing to do when you got a lot of troubles? Turn on some preaching. That's a good thing to do. Turn on some praise and worship music. Turn on some preaching. And all of a sudden, that old man, he says, you ain't got no troubles. All you need is faith in God. Man. And I thought, that old man don't know where I live. I got all kinds of troubles. He don't even know what he's talking about. Got no troubles. I got all kinds of troubles. Well, years on down the road, I started pondering that. I thought, the old man said, you ain't got no troubles. You have faith in God, is what he said. Have faith in God. Well, I mean, that's what Mark 11, 22 says. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Have confidence in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, in other words. He said, then whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. You want a good life? Say, God, I want a good life. Take my life and do something with it. And then gear up and go after it. And he'll bring you into a good life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He'll bring you into fullness in your life. Not that everything will be perfect. I'm not even saying that because that's not biblical. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have people that don't like you. You'll have people that talk about you. You're going to have people that lie on you. That, I'm not even saying now that our life will be perfect. That everybody's going to like us and we please everybody. That's not even what I'm saying. That's not biblical. But we will have power. We will have peace and strength and security and confidence and faith. And we've been covering some scriptures over there, praise God, where it says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Every obstacle that we face, we got confidence, that's faith. Faith simply, if you really study it down to simple terms, it says a strong confidence in a man. And we put strong confidence in Jesus, in the Lord, in God, hallelujah. Give me that Psalms 100, please. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lambs. He didn't say go home and cry because of what you ain't got, what you wish you had, past mistakes, wish you hadn't made them. Listen, you've got to forget those things behind you, Paul says. Forgetting those things behind and press toward the mark of the high calling. You've got to look forward. You've got to look forward. Don't look back. Don't live in regret. Don't live in all of those things. I mean, we all make mistakes. I make wrong choices. But you know what? God makes up for it.
Amen.
He makes up for it. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. I got to that and I told the Lord, I said, I'm glad I'm saved, Lord. I'm glad I can serve you, Lord.
Right.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Go ahead. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, I do that every morning, pretty much every morning. I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, thank you for this day that you made. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're involved in my business, Lord. And then I thank you, Lord, for the church family, Lord. Most every day, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then I begin to praise him for things. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God, that you did this and you did that. I praise you, God, that you've got a future and a hope for me, God. God, I've just got started, Lord. The best is yet to come. See, that's what he's talking about. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And be thankful to him and bless his name. Every day we ought to get up and thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a brand new day. This is the day that you've made, Lord, and I don't always feel like it.
Right.
I didn't feel like it this morning. I didn't even want to say thank you. You ever get up and you just don't feel good? Just no reason. You just get up and don't feel good. You know, that's a perfect time to express your faith when you don't feel good.
Right.
Because really, faith is not a feeling. Feelings will come with it. Faith is a choice. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by God's word, you get faith from the Bible.
Right.
But he said, and the Lord told me, he said, tell them, serve me with gladness.
Right.
I mean, just in your heart, tell the Lord, I'm glad I'm saved, God. I'm glad you saved me. I'm glad you let me in the kingdom. I'm glad, God, you didn't leave me in my mess. I'm glad, God, you not left me alone now. I'm glad, God, to have you in my life. Thank you, Lord. And then begin to praise you for the victory that you desire. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You know, I'm going to go through and I'm going to be thankful tomorrow. I'm thankful tonight, but I'm rejoicing right now. You know, I'm in better shape this year than I was last year. I'm physically in better shape this year than I was this time last year. This time last year, I wasn't doing too good. I've been open heart surgery, and this is the second year. I'm in better shape right now than I've been in years, really. But not only that, I'm in better financial shape than I've ever been in my entire life. You can't convince me, praise God, it's because I'm smart. I just made a big bad mistake. Could have cost me $4,000, and God straightened it out. So you know what? Don't sit back where you are and just say, well, I just got to struggle and just got to live this way. It don't mean you're not going to have hardship, but no, there's promises in the Bible that you lay hold of. The Bible says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So find you somebody that's got their self healed by believing Jesus and do what they've done. Find somebody that's getting blessed financially, praise God, and say, how are you doing it? And they'll tell you. And follow after that pattern as long as it's lining up with that Bible, praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, be thankful to the Lord. But remember, He's your provider. He's the one that provides you healing. He's the one that provides deliverance for you and protection for you. And Tracy was telling the lobby when we started the town, they hanging them angels up, you know, for decoration for Christmas. And Tracy Stoller said, they're the angels. Yeah, they're the angels. And Tracy said, you know, you got angels signed to you, Aubrey, and you can't see it. She said, I know that, Grandma. She said, how did you know? She said, because you done told me before. I mean, you know, we can thank God for His angels. Yeah. That are watching over us. You've got an angel. We got them in here right now. They go with us. They protect us. They're in here. We can't see them. The Bible. You know how come I know that? The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that reverence Him. Right. So I'm gonna believe that Bible that we've got angels in here. Amen. The Bible says, if God be for me and you, who can be against? So let people ramp and rave in the world and all of that, the economy. We just go through and don't pay no attention to it. He said we'd be like trees planted by the river. We wouldn't even know when He comes. We wouldn't even know. Somebody told me not too long ago, and I'm going to close with this. They told me not too long ago, they said, ooh, I remember that $5 a gallon. We liable to go back there. And I said, well, you know, I done been there before. I said, I done been there. $5 didn't get me to Abbott going back. I mean, $20 wouldn't get me to Abbott going back. And when you're on your own business, that's all you do is drive. I mean, your truck, you know, and you wish you had a Toyota then if you ain't careful. But I drive them gas hogs, man. Right. I mean, I drive them 6.0s. They get 8-9 miles to the gallon. But they'll carry a load and tote all my tubes and get me there and all of that stuff, you know. And I told them, I said, well, I done been through that. I done been through that water. I said, what you mean? I said, I trusted. I said, I would pull up to the pumps and I would hear people saying, oh, this is ridiculous. Can't get enough gas and dropping it to gas pumps. I said, I would stick it in there and put $5 or $10 in there. And I'd say, thank you, Lord. I got $20 to put in here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said, I would be stand there and fight off that unbelief and all of that unthankfulness that God had. I'm sitting at a gas pump where I can put gas in. I said, so you know what? I said, I done seen God bring me through $5 a gallon to come out doing pretty good. I said, you know what? If it goes up to 5 and 10 again, I got the same God that I believed back then that'll do the same thing now for me. I said, and I'm going to be thankful to the Lord that He will supply all of my needs. He didn't say if gas is $1.99 a gallon, you're going to do good. He didn't say if rent would get cheaper that you could live better. He didn't say if the government would give you a raise that you could have more money. No, you give your way where you want to be. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure. He didn't say the government would give you a raise or I'll get more God's doors or they're going to give you a raise. It might come that way. It might come all that way. But it says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure. Press down, shake them together, run it over shall me and give you good. I just heard a fella that goes to church here and heard testimony the other night, you know, and none of us know nothing about it, but he was facing some financial struggles at home and the different bills due and didn't have the money and all that stuff, praise God, and didn't say nothing to nobody's family or nothing, but he was trusting God. He was trusting God. And you know, somebody in his church went and busted him with $100.
Amen.
Some other things happened. Another thing happened outside the church and brought him some money. Called his bills up. As far as I know, I mean, he started taking care of the need. Well, you know what? That's what happened trusting in the Lord. Brought his provision. Didn't nobody know nothing about it. Right. But him, as far as I know. And I thought, that's the way it's supposed to be, God. We're supposed to trust you. We're supposed to praise you and go on, praise God, and believe that you'll come through for us. And that's how it happens, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. We thank you right now in the name.